World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It is time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
You know, I think deep down in my heart, if I were to really analyze myself here a little bit, I gotta tell you, I like the tinfoil hat stuff. I really like that. And I think I really like it because I think that once I know something, I know it, and I want to move on. Like I used to, when I was scouting our opponents, when I was a football coach, high school football coach, I would scout our opponents, and sometimes I'd turn off the film that we were watching, and I would feel a play. In other words, I would watch something that they did, thought, dang, go on, that's good. I'm going to use that, and I would incorporate that into our game plan, a plan of attack. And it's not that I forgot all the rest of our plays, but I added to it. And in my own personal walk, mine, I'm talking about mine, I'm just going to tell you the truth. I ain't anywhere near where I was 2 years ago in my faith walk. My faith walk is so much deeper. My understanding of what is going on around us is so much deeper. Now, the Bible tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And once I got my head down in that rabbit hole, as I heard Lionel say the other day, it's not tinfoil. We don't use tinfoil anymore. It's aluminum or silver. So this, it'd be an aluminum hat or a, I don't know, some type of hat. I used this illustration the other day. Here's my cell phone. Whoops, come back here. When I was speaking to the kids yesterday in Worthington, that's two of my grandkids on my cell phone. And I went up to one of those 18-year-old guys who was giving me a hard time. And I said, let me ask you something. Are you smarter than him? And he didn't hesitate. He says, yeah. So why? I said, well, I'm older. I've experienced more things. So yeah, that's right. So how old are you? He said, 18. I said, how old am I? And I had told him earlier, 65. I said, hey, dude, that'd be you compared to me. Now, listen, that's some of you. And I'm not making fun of you. See, we've been doing this show for 3 years. No, 2.5 years. We've been doing this show for 2.5 years. Do you guys have any idea the preparation that I've done to be able to come here and do what I do every morning? It's a gift. I'm not patting myself on the back. But if you guys think this is easy, I'll turn the show over to you and let you do it 4 days in a row and see how you do it. And I'm not doing it to criticize you or criticize anybody, but I'm going to tell you, some of you are still stuck in a box. I can read my email. Some of you are still stuck in a box. And I hate to tell you, that'd be you, spiritually. Now, don't take that comment as I'm coming across all high and mighty and smarter than you. No. That's you. Oops, oh, there's that code. That's you because you haven't experienced what I've experienced. You haven't read what I've read. If I pull in Chad Estes and Chad Estes begins to talk to us about police work, I may have an understanding of it, but I don't have an understanding of it like Chad has. Prayer, Larry could start talking to us about prayer, and you know, I think I get it. Okay, Larry, I get it, but you know, I don't have the depth of understanding about it that Larry has. Or I could call in Mark Trump and say, hey, Mark, what's about this AI stuff? And Mark would he'd take me places. My head would be spinning. I wouldn't even want to go to some place he's going to take me. In fact, whenever Mark talks to us, I hear that in his voice, basically thinking, man, you're not really ready for where I'm going to take you. Because of the deep research and understanding that he's done. And I want you guys to know that I don't come here every day and just throw a Facebook thing up there. I don't do that. And I'm going to also tell you this. I know stuff that you haven't even thought about. I'm not bragging. This has been my life's work for 20 years. It's been my life's work, what I do. And I think all of us, including me, would get ourselves in very, very dangerous territory when we think we know it all. No matter what your area of expertise is, when you think you know it all, you're ready to be set up, brother. That's called being overconfident. And so my mind tends to run down those. Maybe here it is. I don't have any idea, nor do you have any idea, really, how deep and dark evil is. We don't get it. And because we don't understand how deep and dark evil is, we don't want to believe some of the things that people talk about. Because why? Come on. I keep doing this all day.
We don't want to believe people can be that evil. That's what it is.
Well, because there you are. That'd be you sucking on your thumb. You're stuck. You're stuck. And so one of the things that I try to do here, you guys have to agree, you would have to agree with me. I never tell you what to do. I never do. And I try to come and lay out on the table things that maybe you haven't thought about to get your mind to work. I spent 2 hours yesterday and 2 hours the day before with a group of high school seniors that are so blind. I just can't even. You know, the Bible says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. Neither can he. And I was up there making the presentations to him yesterday, which I hate to tell you this, it was powerful, man. I had about 10 mic drop moments with those kids. It was powerful. As I pulled down the walls that they were trapped behind to try to get them to think. And sometimes adults are the same, especially religious folks. Religious adults are the same. And so when I come here in the morning, I don't care what you believe whatever you want to believe. I don't care. I couldn't care less. Don't call yourself a follower of me or whatever. See, it says that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. And I'm going to throw stuff out there. And then you're going to have to ponder it and take it before the Lord and see whether or not it's true. See, what are you talking about, Coach? Well, I'm just, some of these things I cannot get. See, most of us can't get past the obvious. We see the obvious and we camp. We build our house right there on the obvious. Well, I believe in cause and effect. I believe for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. I believe if we have a holy, perfect, loving, all-powerful God, must be a bad dude on the other side of it. Equal and opposite reaction. And if things are going on in the world that are, man, let's say we look at I don't make this comparison wrong. Look at Donald Trump and how much he's advanced things in 18 months. He knows something I don't know. That guy knows something I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't know where he's learning it. But he knows something that I don't know. And he knows something about the depth of evil that I don't know. Maybe he's part of it. I don't know that. But he has a greater understanding. See, the average Christian can't get past just the words. They can't take this and apply it to the world. They can't do that. We box in not only God, we box in the devil. And I noticed yesterday when I was at the Thomas Worthington High School that here's where most of us are. You talking to you and me. And especially those kids yesterday. Lord help us. We establish a position. And then we look for facts to support it. No, wait a minute. Not facts. I am pro-choice. And then they go to find all the kind of reasons they can to support the position. See, a wise man would look at the data and establish a position. But that's not the way that we are today. Christians are just as bad as anybody else. We establish a position, and then we look for support. We look for truth to support that position.
Amen.
I try to do just the opposite. I try to look at the data and then pick a position. I haven't ruled out. Here's what got me going today. You know, I almost pulled a fast one on you today. It's the first day of spring. Snow on the ground, if you can believe that. It snowed last night. Not a whole lot, but enough to make it. It's cold. First day of spring. You know what I wanted to do? I wanted to go broadcast live today from the Nephilim Mounds over in Newark. I wanted to go on my phone, do it on my phone and show. Those of you who've been to the mounds in Newark, they don't call them the Nephilim Mounds. They call them the circle, whatever they call them. I wanted to go and stand in the middle of those mounds and show you how the sun comes up in the morning, right in that little area on the spring, what is this, spring equinox?
Mm-hmm.
That sun, I wanted to do my show right from there and say, my goodness, isn't that amazing that these guys laid this thing out here and the sun comes up every September, March 21st, right in this little opening. See, you can't understand it because you haven't been there. Some of you have been to the mounds. You know what I'm talking about. Today is the day that the sun, it's a circle. It's 360 degrees. Hey, Jared, see if you can pull up Newark Earthworks real quick. I'm sorry, guys. I'm on to something. You gotta let me camp on here a second, okay? Newark Earthworks, Jared. See if you can, because I want people to see exactly what I'm talking about. Most of us are visual learners, and it's important for us to be able to see those things. Today's the winter equinox. Hey, guys, this is, whether you believe this or not, this is a very high holy day for the evil side. Today, last night, today, very, very high. You say, oh, that's baloney. Well,
Jared,
can I say that?
Right in the middle.
Let me see it. I'm trying to catch up.
There
it is. Okay, there's a picture of the Newark Earthworks from the air. Jared, let me find it. Okay, stay right. Jared, that one right in the middle. Enlarge that one. The one right in the middle. Yeah, that one. Okay, now, but guys, look. Don't pay any attention. Jared, take your little arrow down here to this one with the arrow in the middle of it. Guys, you see this one? Okay. Today, this is a 360-degree circle, okay? It's part of another. This whole thing's been destroyed back here. I'm pointing. You guys can't see what I'm doing. I'm sorry. But look, I want you to understand. See where that arrow is? Jared, see that little opening? Bring that arrow to that little opening, Jared. Right there. Today, the first day of the spring equinox, the sun rises right in that little opening. It's one of the most unbelievable things that you would see. And you go stand right where that arrow is, and you stand right there, and the sun is going to come up right. It's the only day of the year that it does it, and it does it every year on September 21st. Or I'm sorry, March 21st and September 21st. Is it the fall equinox? Yeah, the fall equinox, same thing.
Wow.
Now I'm going to ask you this. You can laugh. Guys, that excites me. Who the heck did that? Who made that thing that's been here for who knows how long? What happened there? See, that excites me. It excites my faith.
That is exciting.
What's that, Ben?
That is exciting, yeah. That someone figured that out and marked it for you.
Can you guys imagine if I could have been there today and held up my camera and say, look at that sun. See, I could stand right where that arrow is, and I could watch the sun come right up in that opening. It's amazing. Every year, same spot. And you understand that had they been off just a little bit, the sun would have come up in the opening yesterday or tomorrow or a week from now. No. Every spring equinox, it comes up. Right in, well, there it is, Jared. Right there, Jared. Right there. Hit that one. Yes. Hit that one, Jared. Oh, that's not what we want. Come on here. Where was
it? I got a link in the chat.
What's that?
I got a link in the chat. Have him open that one.
Jared, there's a link in the, there it is.
That's it.
There it is. There is the, see the opening? See the opening? and the sun comes up September 21st, right there, right now, today. And if I'd have planned ahead and hadn't been so cold, we'd be doing a show from there because you would have to see it to believe it. These walls going around that circle mounds, they're about 18, 20, maybe 30 feet high, those walls going around there. And there's an opening in the beginning of it, and the sun comes up on September 21st, right in that opening. That tells me there's something bigger than just this book. That this book gives us a guideline, a roadmap, but it doesn't explain the whole thing. I should add L.A. Marzulli on or Russ Dizdar. This just bounced on me today because I'm telling you, fellas. Oh, golly. The devil's kids. I want to say this right, Lord. I believe the devil's kids are more active than God's kids. I believe the devil's kids are more informed and more active in their devious actions than God's kids are because we don't understand it. We have so compartmentalized good and evil that we don't understand. I was in that class yesterday with those, probably 120 kids I spoke to yesterday. I got to tell you this. They hate Christians. Truth be told, they hate Christians. They hate religion. They reject everything that we believe. Now, not because they hate God, but because they hate restraint. They hate restraint. It was a sin of the devil. My choice, my body, my life, my. And one of the most startling things that I found, two things that popped into my heart yesterday. I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Two things that popped into my heart when I was talking to those kids. Number one is this. As we know, who am I to tell somebody else what they can do? By the way, that's the scriptures. Who wants to be rebellious? The devil's kids. And then the second one. You ready? How does what I do affect you? How does my being gay affect your marriage? So they believe that there is no right and wrong until you do a mic drop on them and then they see that there is. And they believe that anybody can do whatever they want to if it doesn't impact you. So they don't understand cause and effect. We have people who watch us regularly, go to church regularly. They don't understand cause and effect. They don't understand. See, the Joe Montana, he doesn't play anymore, Tom Brady. When Tom Brady throws a pass to Rob Gronkowski for a touchdown, that didn't just happen. They've been strategizing and planning to do that. They've been working all summer to do that. They've been working all week, and all we see is the touchdown. Say, wow, all right, Ron, he got it, yeah! We don't understand what all went into that one play happening. And so the same is true on the other side. When we see these things that are going on around us, we can't just write them off as happenstance. What you do does impact others, even though you don't see it. It does impact others, good and bad. And I would say to you today that the average Christian doesn't care enough to intercede knowing whether you do or you don't impacts others. And I'm going to tell you this. The devil's kids do because they call, God says he hates all workers of iniquity. I believe that's Psalm 11:3. He hates the workers of iniquity, not a sinner. There's a difference between a sinner and a worker of iniquity. A worker of iniquity is not only someone who practices sin, but he tries to get others enveloped and engaged in that same sin. That is a worker of iniquity. And we haven't got any idea. I thank God I don't know what Mark Trump knows about the computers or Jared, what Jared knows. Thank God I don't know. My God, if my mind were to open up to that. See, where are you going, Coach? Stay with me here. I'll call timeout. I'm not gonna let you get me off track, but I went on a 20 minute whatever that thing was. Somebody jump in here. Hey, hang on before you do. You guys, I wish I could have filmed it yesterday. You should have seen the alpha male take on some of those know-it-all lesbian, not lesbian, feminazi girl. You should have seen me put them in your place, in their place. Oh, man! And you know when I did that? I saw the boys' boldness rise up. It's pretty cool.
Hey, Coach, you know the kids recorded?
Somebody probably did. But you know what happens, Vinny? Here's what happens, Vinny. Just like on this show, when somebody challenges what you believe, we tend to get mad. Now, hang on. As adults, we deal with it better. Teenagers don't, because they've established a position, and they don't care what the data is. They're going to get their own data to support their position. And when you come in and you try to bring a different nugget, then they get mad, because they cannot defend their position. Because they cannot defend their position, they don't want to hear your position. So when you bring in a position, see, I went up on the wall. They asked me about abortion. I said, listen, before we get into, because I've talked to them about feelings and logic, how you know, you can't just operate off of feelings. You just can't operate off of knowledge. It takes a combination of your feelings to arrive at the truth. Don't we all want to arrive at the truth? That's why I got the shirt on today. Protect the flock with a Glock. Talking about gun control as well. So before we get into the abortion debate, they brought it up. I'm talking about right and wrong, good and evil, and all that kind of stuff. One of them brings up, well, what do you think about abortion? Oh, my goodness. So I said, listen, let's cut to the chase here. Let's cut to the chase. There's only two questions that we need to ask ourselves in regards to the abortion. Only two. And here it is. And let's take a woman's choice. Let's take all that stuff out of it. The college education, I'm not ready for the baby. I can't take care of the baby. It was an accident. It was a rape. It was incest. Let's take all of that stuff off the table. None of that. Let's not take a position here. Let's all do this together. You ready? Question number one, is it alive? Now, when I brought that up, they're smart enough to know if they answer yes, they'd be in heap big trouble. And so someone would say, yeah, it's alive. But then you know what happens? Remember, they got their position, right? So then you know what happens next? They say, oh, yeah, but it's just a blob of tissues. Or, yeah, it doesn't have a heartbeat. Or they go through all this propaganda. I said, no, stop. No. Let's go to facts. Is it alive? If we were to go to scientists, if we were to go to look in a microscope, is it alive? And even then, they will not say yes. And I said, well, how about a young guy sitting over there? His name was Vince, believe it or not, Vince. He was a young black guy. I said, hey, Vince, you know, here in America, they used to say that you weren't a human being. Guys like you, your ancestors weren't a human being. They said you weren't really alive. Because they said that you weren't really alive and you weren't really a person, they could sell you, they could rape you, they could lynch you, they could do whatever they wanted to with you. Vince, you think that's fair? You think it's fair for somebody else to determine whether or not you have a life worth living? Of course, Vince didn't think that. No, he didn't like that very well. Right. I said, well, we fought a civil war to make sure that everybody would recognize it. You realize Christians fought Christians? Some Christians thought you were property and some Christians thought you weren't property. We had a civil war. 600,000 people died because we said, we're not going to let you get away with lies saying that guy's not a black. That black guy's only 6/10 of a human being. We're not going to let you get away with it. Does everybody think, so did the class, everybody think Vince over here? Everybody think Vince is a human being? Looked around, everybody, yeah. Well, I said there were a bunch of people one time said he wasn't. So now we take this little baby. I'm asking you a very simple question. Is Vince alive? Yeah. Is a baby in the mother's womb alive? They are so ticked off because they know where it's gone. So then I said, okay, you pick a position here. If you say no, it's not alive, well, then kill it. It's a big deal. It's like it's less than killing a mosquito. If it's not alive, there's nothing to it. Why is the big fight about it? Why is it a difficult choice between a woman and her doctor? Why? If it's not alive? But see, scientifically, we know it is alive. That's a fact. Then question number two. If it's alive, then you kill it. I said, there's the entire abortion debate right there. Now, you can cloud it with everything else you want to. A woman's right to choose, my life, my choice, my body, my choice. You can cloud it with all this peripheral stuff. But see, you have staked out a position that says I'm pro-choice, and now you want to find reasons why it's okay. Rape, incest, health of the mother, I can't afford it. You want to pick and choose issues to support the position that you've already staked out. And I'm going to tell you something. There's some of you Christians that are doing that in regards to the larger thing of good and evil that's going on around us. You stake out your position. I ain't going to believe that. Am I making sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm trying to bring some stuff here to show you. Say, hey, listen, might want to peek under here. And you know what happens? Some of us are just like those high school kids yesterday when I dove into the whole thing. Are you ready? Huh? Because they already had their position. This is good, isn't it? Isn't this good? And that's where we are. So I'm not gonna let people get away with it. I'm gonna continue to challenge it. I got some stuff to show you here. Anybody want to jump in here real quick?
I just want to say Jesus had your position on the evil people being more productive than the good people. A lot of Bible scholars and Bible editors call this a parable, but it's not. It's Jesus speaking directly to his disciples, so he's not speaking in stuff that people aren't supposed to understand, like he tells parables so they won't understand. And he told his disciples, you know, there was an unjust steward, and he figured out his boss was going to fire him. So he went around making deals with all the money, people that owed his boss money, so that when his boss fired him, he would be on the good side of all these people. He owed his boss money, and he could go live on them. And Jesus said, you know, that guy was smarter than you guys. He was working harder than you guys. He put it this way. He says, and the Lord commended, this is not Jesus, but he says, and the Lord, the boss of that guy, commended the unjust steward, gave him credit for credit was due, because he had done wisely for the children of this world. This is what Jesus said. Children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of
the world. Amen. And what is wisdom? What is wisdom? See, wisdom is the application of knowledge. That's what wisdom is. We got all kinds of knowledge. We don't have to apply it. That's we can't put together a game plan. We haven't figured it out yet. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, listen, somebody else, because if I open it up, come in here. I got someplace I want to go. Anybody else?
Well, this is very simple. I typed it into the chat. How does a living sperm, you just said this anyway, how does a living sperm interact with a living egg and somehow lose the aspect of being alive? At no point is there a death involved there.
Well, Vince, because at no point during their education does somebody tell them it's alive. That's never brought to them.
And second graders about lesbians, how about teaching about reproduction? How about teaching?
Well, they wouldn't let David Arthur come in because they had to present the other side. And so they present the other side all the time, right? That's all they present is the other side. And so when I come in, that they can't believe what they hear.
Hey,
can I jump in real quick?
Please do.
Dave, how do they even think that there is evil out there, or do they just think all this crap we're going through is just human nature? I mean, is there any
Roger? They think that they might believe in God, but they think it's all fairy tale. Really, when it gets right down to it, they don't believe it impacts one thing or another. I draw up on the ball up on the board, good and evil. You guys believe in this? You really believe in good and evil? And they don't. Hey, Roger, they don't because the church doesn't. We don't. The church doesn't even think killing a baby's evil.
Well, here's my follow up. We hear of people, the prophet, you know, we listen to the prophet. We hear all the time, God is moving and, you know, God is moving in this. I never hear evil is moving, folks. Look here. Evil is on the march. But we hear
right.
For everything else.
And for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, right? So as evil moves, we ought to move correspondingly against it, right? Fight pressure. We ought to. But we don't do that because we're so boxed in this little book. We don't see the bigger picture.
We've only got 22 of us, and there's room for a bunch more. So,
hey, Coach.
Those of you out there listening, come on, join the huddle.
Yeah, George.
You know, not only does the church not believe that there's good and evil, that they don't believe that what's happening in our nation, all this wickedness, all these murders and tragedies, they don't believe that that's the hand and judgment of God. I mean, they've totally disconnected it. It doesn't make any sense.
George, hang on, George. We've disconnected it. We think every one of these things that happen are a standalone consequence of a personal sin. And they are. But see, sin, I had this discussion yesterday. Are all sins the same? They don't believe in sins. So I didn't say sins. I said, are all crimes the same? Do you punish somebody from the same way somebody who steals gum at a grocery store? Do you punish that the same way as you punish the guy who blew up the school? Are all sins the same in their corporate impact? Are they?
Yeah, this ties in with what George was saying, too. It's a matter of when do the churches and pastors become workers of iniquity? When are they physically not choosing to do their ordination? And secondly, tying into what you said, aren't pastors held to a higher standard? Aren't they going to have a special hot place if they're not leading the flock properly?
They must not believe that, Mark. They must not believe that.
Larry, ain't there a text associated with pastors' punishments?
Sure. Those who presume to teach are held to a higher standard.
Yeah, so that ties in.
So Kevin just put in there, sin is what I hear all the time. But see, that's not true. It's not true. Hey, folks, listen. Ananias and Sapphira. I'm just trying to make a comparison here. Ananias and Sapphira lied and died. Yes or no? They died, didn't they? They did. Did their death impact the world the same way the death of Jesus impacted the world? Well, of course not. Of course not. So see, there are personal sins which have a personal punishment, consequence. But a personal sin doesn't just stop at personal. If I go kill my wife, that's a personal sin. But it has far-reaching consequences to all of my family and all who loved her. I could go kill George Lewis, and that wouldn't be the same as killing John F. Kennedy. Because the impact is different. And there could be a difference, see. It's corporate sin, approved corporate sin, brings greater calamity to everyone. There's a difference between, stay with me going out, my daughter gets pregnant, I take my daughter out in the woods, out here where I live, and I induce birth and kill the baby. There's a difference between that and the governor saying it's okay for everybody to do that. When the governor says it's okay for everybody to do that, it brings a corporate judgment, a corporate sin. Not all sins are the same. That is a lie from the pit. Now, all sins will separate you from God. But if all sins are the same, why is there the death penalty for some? Even in our God-forsaken society, we don't see all sins as the same. Murder is certainly worse than stealing gum. Blowing up a building is certainly worse than killing an innocent dog. And the consequence of corporate sin not being repented of brings more sin. I don't know why we can't see the cause and effect of it. Not all sins are the same. what we teach that they are. Sin is sin, as Kevin put down in here. Sin is sin. Is that what said, Kevin? Sin is sin. Sin is sin. Well, no. Somebody kills Donald Trump, it'd be a lot, Lord, the consequences of that as opposed to if they killed Larry. Yeah, because they killed Larry, everybody'd cheer. Yeah, I'm just kidding. You get what I'm saying? And so the idea, in my mind, of blood guilt in regards to abortion, it's corporate sin. We as a people have approved it. And because we have approved it, there is corporate consequences that come as a result of it. Toys R Us, have you followed that story? Toys R Us has gone broke.
Oh, yes.
30,000 employees gone. Now, did you follow this one? They were a huge supporter of Planned Parenthood. Now, folks, they killed their customers. Corporate sin is different than individual sin. I'm going to open the door a minute because I could take you someplace else. Go ahead.
Hey, Coach, so just to throw in with the Toys R Us story, guess what they did last year? They gave all their executives bonuses. And then this year, you see they all these employees, it's 31,000 employees, no severance pay. So they can give give bonuses to people who had bonuses, obviously, from last year.
Well, because they saw what was coming. They saw what was coming. Why would we be surprised about that? What evil people do. And can you imagine if a Firestone tire company wanted to outlaw tire rubber? Can you imagine that? That's what Toys R Us did. That's a corporate sin. And in the United States of America, abortion has become a corporate sin. And we are reaping the consequences of that corporate sin. And I could give you 15, I have them right here in front of me, 15 verses in the scriptures that allude to that. And see, I walked out of that classroom yesterday, and I just said to myself, self, what has happened to us? That our kids in this fine suburban high school are so lost. Not just spiritually lost, but the ability to think is gone. And I would say it's the consequences of corporate sin on our nation. That our eyes would be open. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. And we're trying right now, as we heard from Dan Fisher yesterday, we're trying to stop national murder because we think it has terrible consequences. One good point here before I shift gears a bit. I had five of them tell me yesterday. They watched the show. Five of those kids told me that after I was there on Monday, they watched the show because they were something inside us. See, that's that knower. Something inside of them was touched, and they thought, I got to see more of this. Now, I don't think I'm converting high school kids, but if it can happen to a high school kid, it could happen to your friend. When truth comes in and a heart becomes illuminated and you see things, hang on.
That's it, brother.
When you see things, you can't unsee them. Can't unsee them.
Hey, Coach.
We're stubborn. Yeah, Larry.
Oh, man, you were so walking in scripture yesterday. You know, 1 John 5, verses 16 and 17 talks about exactly what you just said. If a man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death.
Larry, I cannot believe you're bringing this up. That's on my list of things to talk about. That very verse. Go ahead.
He shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death.
There is a sin unto death.
Huh. Yeah, there is a sin unto death. I did not say he shall pray for it.
All
righteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death.
So there is.
Jared, Jared, pull that up because I know most people don't believe that. I'm telling you, folks, I have this in my stuff. I sent to Jared. 1 John 5:16-17. What does this mean, folks? This lie that all sins are the same, that they've told us over and over and over, and then we hear the kids yesterday say abortion to them ain't no difference between abortion and stealing a piece of gum. What is unto death? Well, answer, 1 John 5:16 is one of the most difficult verses in the New Testament to interpret. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. And I'm not saying that he should pray about that. Of all the interpretations out of there, none seems to answer all the questions concerning this verse. The best interpretation may be found by comparing this verse to what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. Wow, I said something about them this morning. The sin unto death is willful, continuous, unrepentant sin. Can you say abortion and the church? God has called his children to holiness, and God corrects them when they sin. We are not punished for our sin in the sense of losing salvation or being eternally separated from God, yet we are disciplined. The Lord disciplines the ones he loves. He chastens everyone he accepts as his son. So the Lord disciplined Toys R Us. And he's telling everybody else, if this continues, there's going to be more of this. Acts 5:1-10, Corinthians 4:11, God dealt with intentional, calculated sin in the church by taking the physical life of the sinner. This is perhaps also what Paul meant by the destruction of the flesh. John says that we should pray for Christians who are sinning and that God will hear our prayers. However, there may come a time when God decides to cut short a believer's life due to unrepentant sin. Prayers for such an unheeded person will not be effective. This is so good. God is good and just, and he will eventually make us a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. To further that end, God chastens his children. May the Lord preserve us from the hard-heartedness that would cause us to commit a sin unto death. Could it be that we are losing our millennials in church because we are not protecting the children in the womb? Cause and effect. We have it backwards. We think we are losing our millennials, so they are killing their children. And I would say we are killing our children, and that's causing us to lose our millennials. Because, why? It's judgment of the Lord saying, wake up! Not all sin's the same, boys and girls. It's not the same. Despite what they might teach you.
You know, Toys R Us giving all that money to Planned Parenthood, surely those people in that boardroom should have been smart enough to realize they were killing off their future customers.
Well, Larry, and who did it impact? Did it just impact the person that was killing their child? No! It was a corporate sin that impacted all of Toys R Us.
Right.
That's the way I see it.
The epitome of stupidity.
That's right.
The epitome of stupidity.
Yeah. If you want a little more depth on sin unto death, Romans chapter 6, 5, 6, and 7 are really good.
Wow.
There you go. Okay, I'm going to move on. Guys, if you don't think this is the Holy Spirit. I had that queued up before Larry even brought it up. I had that queued up.
Wow.
I wasn't going to go there, in fact. Okay. Amen. All right. I got more, man. I got more. I'm looking over here at my schedule. Okay. Here's what kicked me off this morning. My aluminum foil hat, boy, it's buzzing this morning. I'm gonna ask you. Let me just ask you. Remember when you see that Frankenstein? That's going on in my head right now. What's going on with the Las Vegas killer? Anybody know? Anybody heard anything on that? What's going on with those killers down in one that killed the homosexuals down in Florida? Anybody going to know what's going on with that? Let me ask you a question. I just talked to my buddy Chad. Chad's a cop in Texas. He notified me early this morning that that guy blown himself up or that he was dead. And then I asked a question. I said, hey, Chad, why is the FBI there? Why, in the Parkland school shooting, was the FBI there immediately? Why, in the bombing in Las Vegas, was the FBI there immediately? It's not their jurisdiction. And we look at what's going on with the deep state and Comey and McCabe and something's gone off in my head that something nefarious is at work as the workers of iniquity are trying to do something and we're missing it. I don't even know what I'm missing. I'm missing something. So are you. And we don't want to believe. See, that's tinfoil hat-ish, isn't it? That's tinfoil hat. Think something might be going on like that, that some of that stuff is not exactly as they told us it was. See any video? Anybody seen any video from Las Vegas yet? That shooting? Anybody? Seen any video of that? No, why? Because the FBI is absconded with all of it. Anybody heard? Anybody seen autopsy reports from Las Vegas? No, why not? Well, because the FBI is absconded with it. And who's the FBI connected to? They're connected to McCabe. Are you kidding me? Deep state. Let's see. Tinfoil hat.
Hey, Coach.
I go to church, say something about that. People want to throw me out. I'm a fool. I'm connecting. No, okay, so bear with me. Hey, Jared. Wow. Oh, Lord, what do I show? What do I show? Jared, Obama used Facebook. You guys, listen. Guys, you know what's going on with Facebook? Mark Trump's been telling us. Mark Trump has been telling us about artificial intelligence and data and all this kind of stuff. And what's happened? Well, now we find out that in the last election, Donald Trump's hired the Mercer brothers, came alongside to help Donald Trump, and they brought in Steve Bannon, and Steve Bannon understood what Facebook was doing, and Steve Bannon incorporated this data that Facebook was giving for free to Obama and Hillary. It says right here on your screen right now, Obama campaign director reveals Facebook allowed them to mine American users' profiles in 2012 because they were supportive of Democrats. So what Obama did in 2008 to get elected and again in 2012, what Hillary tried to do is they came and got all your data from Facebook, all your friends, and then they began, just like you would call, let's say you wanted to call a meeting and wanted all of your friends to come to this meeting. Hey, we're going to have a meeting down at the church on Friday at 7 o'clock. Everybody come, and we know nobody comes. They just don't. But they found out through Facebook that when they looked up Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, they found out who all of his friends were on Facebook, said, hey, this guy's already got a following. Let's infiltrate Coach Dave's following, and let's feed information just directly to Coach Dave's people. They knew who your friends were. They knew who your friends' friends were. And so Facebook, behind the scenes, was feeding propaganda just to your group of friends because birds of a feather flock together. And so have you noticed on your Facebook page? I've noticed. I told this to Michelle before I went to bed last night. I go to Facebook, and it's the same daggone story I saw yesterday. Over and over and over, they keep feeding me the same crap. I got 6,000 followers. If this was really working properly, I ought to be reading 6,000 different people making posts, and I don't see those. Why? Because, see, something nefarious is going on because Facebook is connected to the dark side. And what Bannon did, he came in and stole the plan. He stole a play from the other team's playbook, and they used that to reach Trump supporters, say the right words to Trump supporters. They found out I like Trump, so therefore they took my information and all of my friends and all of their friends' friends and began to feed us information about Trump, and Trump beat them at their own game. But you're missing the bigger part of it. They're doing it to control us. Are you there, Mark?
Yeah, absolutely. Jared, open. This ties perfectly into the first link, Jared.
So yeah. Guys, do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, if we don't see it, if we're afraid to look at it, say, oh, no. If we don't understand that Zuckerberg is the deep state. Google is the deep state. And they are feeding us this programmed information, and we don't get it. We think we go on Facebook just to have fun and make a bean here and say this here. Every time we do that, they are collecting data beyond what we can ever imagine. And then they know who check the Hillary supporters are, and they don't know who the Trump supporters are. Well, and not they are speaking to all of your friends. They are sending information and data, and they're sending it to all of your friends, and you don't even know it. They are speaking to your friends. They're having a town hall meeting with your friends with the data they've collected, and you don't even know it. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, let's see if Jared can get this up just for a minute here. So this is exactly what Coach is talking about. In 2012, Facebook did and we talked about this before, they did a study with 700,000 Facebook folks, and what they did is they fed half of them angry information and half of them friendly information. And they were actually able to control our moods, and they were able to measure it. And now they're selling that service to people like Obama's team and so forth.
Mark, this isn't speculation. This is true. This is coming up. This is true. They're mad that Trump figured it out. They're mad that he figured it out because they were doing all of it.
That's
right.
That
was part of their plan to conquer the world.
Yeah. Just look up that in Google. Look up that in Google, Jared. You'll see lots of stories about it. Facebook manipulation or something.
And so nobody hacked Facebook. They had all of this information. They were compiling all of this information. Nobody hacked it. Trump's team bought it. Facebook sells information. That's how they make money. $24 billion. Their stock went down because now we're going to find out that the government's going to regulate Facebook. That's where this is all heading, see?
Do the nine answers. Nine answers, Jared.
Hey, so also, well, listen, we need to take advantage of this because we can get free speech. We can get the First Amendment ensconced in this regulation.
Well, we would hope, right? That's where the battle lies. Now, see, listen, hey, guys, do you have any idea how many people, this is all they do is read this thing, and they don't apply what they read here to what's going on around us? They make no application of the two. We got to come out of here. We got to get in here and come out of here.
Right. So as far as tracking your friends on your feeds and all that, that's simply a connection. That is so vitally important to the analytics. But y'all can look these up. This is what Facebook does. This is their job. It's not only to identify the behavior and identify with people, but also to change their emotions, to change their feelings, to go into the Trump queue and change them into liberal views. That's what this is about.
Or, folks, let me make this just as simple to make sure that if you are a Trump hater, well, all you get is information about hating Trump. They change. They control what you see.
Okay. Jared, click on that second link I sent you. Now, this is what they do. Coach is talking about actioning on the data. So once they have the data, they can action on it. So this is basically what they're doing. You know, they can action on the data for the FBI. They can identify suicidal signs and send a truck to pick you up without any indication other than your social feed. So they're using, last sentence, we use pattern recognition to help accelerate the most concerning reports.
Absolutely.
So what they're saying in that paragraph is they're sending the cops to pick you up using analytics that are looking for suicide.
Except, Mark, they didn't pick up the guy in Parkland, did they? They didn't pick him up.
Again, the data's in the feeds, and then they choose. It's all about what they choose to do with the data.
That's it, man.
Is it a liberal choice they make, or is it a pro-life choice? Is it an abolitionist choice they make to feed the public, save your babies? Or is it like, go kill your baby, it don't matter. Here, buy some blood. And then they run all of these ads to you, and if you tie in Harari's story, they want to watch and keep track of our eye movements. See how they got the eye shown there? They want to watch our eye movements to see what we're looking at on the screen to change advertising when you scroll. So the minute you scroll, you'll get an ad from the interest your eyes show.
Oh, I see it all the time. I see that all the time. Mark, we're running out. We're running out.
I'm telling you, I left. Where did I leave? I left Exxon. I filled up with gas. Do you know I got a text message survey for Exxon immediately after leaving the Exxon station?
Yep. Here's the point I'm trying to. The Christian church, whatever that means, hasn't figured this out yet. See, is the Christian church, when you go to church on Sunday, is your pastor talking to you about artificial intelligence and data collection and how they're going to be able to take all of this and use it against the people of God? See, it's tinfoil hat. Oh, that can't be going on. Jesus is coming soon, brother. Jesus is coming. We are totally, that word keeps coming back, obstinate and obtuse. We will not see what's going on in the world. We will not read the Bible, see what's going on in the world, and apply the Bible to what we see going on in the world.
Amen.
We don't do that. We say, well, we're not of the world.
It's right there if you read that first paragraph. It's part of Facebook's ongoing effort to help build a safe community on and off Facebook.
Safe community? What the hell does that mean, Mark?
But off, why are they worried about what's happening off Facebook?
Right. Because, a guy like me makes an unsafe environment, according to Facebook.
Yeah.
So they get to determine what you see, what you hear, who you connect with. Hey, fellas, do you understand how close we were to total and complete dominance by the deep state? Do you have any idea? Any idea? Hillary was set up to do it. Hillary was set up to use all these algorithms. And Bannon figured it out and hired a company, and they did it for Trump with only 50 million contacts they had. That's what they bought, 50 million contacts from Facebook. And Facebook is, see, Zuckerberg is the CIA. See, Zuckerberg is in serious trouble, not for collecting the data, because he was collecting the data for his team. Zuckerberg's in trouble because his team sold it to the other team. And they are pissed at Zuckerberg. Oh, my goodness. What a tangle. We only got a minute.
Well, have a minute. You ask your friend if he's okay, because they use pattern recognition, and you're saying, are you okay? Can I help? So you start giving your friend all of these notes. He gets picked up. He gets picked up because you are asking him those questions. And check it out. The company is going to monitor and respond to suicidal attempt worldwide. So that's a good thing to finish with there.
The company said today that it has plans to eventually monitor and respond to suicidal intent on Facebook worldwide. Hey, boys, I'm going to tell you something. The devil's net is big and wide, and they are throwing that thing and trying to hook everybody in. And we laugh at one another because we say, well, that's just tinfoil hat Christianity. The devil's eating our lunch. Wow. What a time to be alive. Hey, you won't believe this. Live tomorrow from Dallas, Texas. I'll be, Michelle and I are going to be out there staying with our Dave and Cynthia. We're looking forward to it. Got a great weekend here at the Watchman Conference. What a time to be alive. God bless y'all. See you tomorrow.